What's up, Edge Church? How we doing this morning? Oh, great to see you. And let's give it up for all of our guests that are here in the house today. So many guests with us. We welcome all of you. Fantastic to have you with us today. These are exciting days here at Edge Church. We are moving towards the closing on our facility. We are so pumped. Many of you know we've been renting this building for the last couple of years, and October 2nd is our closing date, and we are so excited about what God is doing in and through that. And last week we shared some details about that. We are only $60,000 away from our goal that we need for our down payment. So I want to thank you today for continuing to pray, to believe God for great things, and to give sacrificially to help us achieve this incredible goal of owning this building. Our six-year anniversary will be in the next few weeks. We're going to be a six-year-old church, and we're about to have one of the largest church facilities in this area. And we give God all the thanks and praise for that. So we have a lot to celebrate today. Well, I was thinking a little bit about the message that I was going to share with you guys. I was reminded of an experience I had as a high school student. My varsity track coach pulled me aside at the district championship. He said, "Ryan, you have turned in the fastest time amongst all the runners in the 800 meters, but I want you to be watching for this other runner. He's from this high school," and he called the name of it. It was our rival high school. And he said, "This guy's time is right behind yours, and I think he's going to be coming for you. So you just need to be prepared. You need to be watching for him." And I said, "Okay, coach." And for those of you that are not real familiar with the world of track and field, the 800 meters is two laps around the track. And I took an early lead coming around the first lap, had a good lead, and of course had a really nice lead coming into the last 100 meters. But one of the struggles if you run middle distance or long distance is always finishing the way that you start, because it's really easy to run out of gas, if you know what I mean. And I was starting to slow down just a little bit. I had this great lead, but I was a little nervous because I just didn't feel like I had that speed to kind of turn it on to finish this thing off. And I knew that somebody was coming up behind me because my mom was yelling in the stands. My mom was going crazy, cray, cray in the stands. "Mama," I don't know, of all the people that were there today in that stadium, I could hear my mom, but I could hear mom. And the volume just continued to kind of increase and increase and increase. And I was like, "Oh man, this guy is coming for me. I've got to do something." So with every ounce of strength and agility in my body, I am trying to finish the last few meters of this race. I began to hear the footsteps behind me. And you know what they always say? The cardinal sin of running is you never look back over your shoulder, okay? If you ever see a runner doing like this, they're about to put him in the band. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not good. You cannot run looking over your shoulder. It doesn't work that way. Can't do that. So I hear the footsteps. My mom is going crazy in the stands. And right as the finish line is there, just a few meters ahead of me, I begin to lean in for the victory, knowing that guy from the other school that my coach had warned me about was right there beside me. It was such a close finish, they had to do a video review. They had to go back and play it over and over again to see who won. And they determined that I won the race by 1/100th of a second. Can you believe that? I mean, that's like by a hair. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, 1/100th of a second. I was the champion. It was close. You know, I learned a powerful lesson that day. The lesson was, when you're running to win, you never look back. When you're running to win, you never look back. And you know, the Apostle Paul compares the Christian life to that of a race. Track and field is the most ancient sport. People have been running races for, you know, several thousands of years. And in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle compares the Christian race, running with Jesus Christ, to the Christian faith. God has put all of us in a race. And the question is, are we going to run to win? And so this morning I want to talk to you today about how we can be people that run to win. How can we be focused? How can we achieve everything that God has before us? Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. If you'll open your Bible this morning. "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And the first thing that the apostle challenges us with today is if you're going to be a person that runs to win, you have to forget about the past. You got to forget about the past. Look at what he says again. He says, I focus on one thing, forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. Great runners never look back. Never look back. And Paul was focused all of his energy on one thing. That was forgetting the past. We have to be careful in our lives to not be conquered by our past, to not be corrupted by our past. And forgetting is, from a biblical perspective, is to no longer be influenced by the choices that we have made and the mistakes that we have made in the days that have occurred before. In other words, we're not running the race by looking behind us. If we're looking behind us, we're not looking at Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. To run the race that is set before us, we have to look at Jesus. And if I'm looking behind me, I'm not looking at Jesus, I'm looking at myself. I have to be able to forget the past. All of us have stuff in our past. Everybody has a past. If you don't think you have a past, you're a liar. We all have a past. There's things that if they came out, we would all be embarrassed if everybody knew, especially at church. We'd be like, oh my goodness, I don't want them to know that. We all have a past. But it's interesting that we don't have to be defined by our past. People are quick to label people. Oh, they did this, they were into that, they struggled with this. Label, label, label. Sometimes we even label our own selves, put labels on our own foreheads because of what we've done in the past. You know what? In Christ, every person can become new. Isn't that great? That's how Paul was able to say, man, forgetting the things that were behind me, he was a transformed person. He was a new person. Christ had done something amazing in his life. Forgetting the past. If you're going to run to win, you have to forget the past. You cannot look over your shoulder. And that's why every Christ follower needs a healthy amount of spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia is when we can understand that we have been forgiven by Jesus Christ, and therefore we don't have to let our old sins and our old struggles be the things that dominate us today. That's what it means. Now, Paul spoke from so much experience. I mean, this guy had the highest highs and the lowest lows. But so did a lot of people in the Bible. You guys ever heard of a guy named Doubting Thomas? You remember Doubting Thomas doubted the resurrection. When Jesus rose from the grave, Thomas was like, he was slow to embrace it. He was a little nervous about it. He wanted to feel the wounds of Jesus. But you know what? That wasn't the end of Thomas's life. Church history tells us that Thomas the apostle died as a martyr for the Christian faith. Thomas refused to be labeled and to live by the past and to live up to his old name, Doubting Thomas. How about that? Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and yet at the day at Pentecost, he got up and preached and 3,000 people followed Jesus. Your past does not have to define your future. We run the race that's set before us by looking at Jesus, not by looking back. So what do we have to get over? What do we have to have a little spiritual amnesia about? Sometimes it's our past sins. It's things we've done in the past. Paul certainly had these. He was the one that was holding the garments of the ones that stoned the first Christian martyr named Stephen. Paul was guilty of that. He was persecuting the early church. You would think that Paul would be hung up on his past because he did some really bad, sinister, nasty stuff. And yet he said, forgetting what's behind me. Forgetting what's behind me. Your past does not have to destroy your future. A lot of times our joy is destroyed by our past guilt. That's what happens. We're in a series about joyful living. And sometimes our own guilt, our own struggle, our own embarrassment. I can't believe that I did that. I can't believe I went there. I can't believe that I was a part of this. That can be the thing that can choke the joy out of our lives. That's why we need to come clean with God, make that right with God, and then start over. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so our sins have been removed by God. And therefore, we ought to confess those things to God. So our past sins, our past guilt, our past sorrows. Sometimes it's just things that we're hung up on. It's not necessarily our sins, but it's just stuff that happened to us. We went through some adversity. We went through some hardships. We went through some difficult times, and that sucked the joy out of our life. Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was stoned. He was so many other things. He was misunderstood. Paul had a lot of things to be hung up on. His past sins and just his past sorrows, but also his successes. Because nobody had the spiritual accolades that the apostle had. He wrote the letters that many of them became what we know today as the books of the New Testament, almost half the New Testament. Paul led lots of people to Jesus. Paul started churches. He was a missionary. This guy was famous. He was renowned. He was intelligent. He was sophisticated. He was educated. He had all this stuff, all the successes. And sometimes when we're running the race that's set before us, what we're looking back at is not just our sins and not just our sorrows. Sometimes it's all the successes. And if we're not careful, we can live in the past. But the Christian life is a daily walk. It's something that we do on a day-by-day basis. It's not something that we did 10 years ago. So we shouldn't look back and say, you know what, man, I did something great for God a decade ago. Well, what are you doing today? Well, you know, I don't really know. I'm just kind of hanging out because I'm just thinking about how awesome that was, you know, last year or 5 years ago or whatever it is. No, we have to live in the present. Now, when I was in college, I remember getting to the university as a freshman, and I looked over, and there were a couple of students in one of my first classes, and they were college students. They were college freshmen, but guess what? They were wearing their high school letter jackets. I was like, there's something messed up about that, right? That doesn't qualify. You can't wear your letter jacket once you graduate from high school. So I did some digging around in the closet, and guess what I found? I found my high school letter jacket. What do you guys think? It fits a little tighter than it used to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how weird would that be if I like showed up at church wearing the jacket, you know? How weird would it be if I was out at the mall or at the grocery store? I busted out the jacket. I told you guys about that race that I won. That was back in 1989. How about that? I got a patch right there to prove it. Be a little strange. Be a little weird. You'd say, Pastor, you're kind of living in the past just a little bit. I mean, come on now. I mean, that was great that you did that back in the day, but what about today? By the way, I think my girlfriend was real impressed with this patch for a little while, for about 5 minutes, but you know what? I don't know if anybody cares anymore. This is stuck in the back of the closet. You know what you got to do as a follower of Jesus? You got to take off the letter jacket. You got to take off the jacket. Your sins, your sorrows, your struggles, even your successes, you got to take it off, man, because if you don't, what will happen? You'll continue to live in the past. And you can't embrace God's destiny for your life if you're constantly running and looking over your shoulder and thinking about the past. Today, we've got to live in the present. We've got to live in the present. Now, last year, there was this great article. I read about this online. And it was this article about Larry Fitzgerald, the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. And they were playing the Philadelphia Eagles, but Larry Fitzgerald caught this pass, and he was running for the end zone, but he was about 80 yards away. It was kind of a short pass. And he looked down into the end zone, and he saw the Jumbotron. And Larry Fitzgerald knew that if he looked over his shoulder to see where the defensive backs were for the Philadelphia Eagles, that they would probably catch him. But he was running so fast, he actually looked into the end zone, and guess what he saw? He saw the opposing players up on the Jumbotron. And so Larry Fitzgerald is running down the field, and he's doing this. And he's dodging all the bad guys, you know, and they're like all over the place. And he scores the touchdown. And everybody's like, how did you do that? And he said, I didn't look back. I didn't look back. I want to submit to you today, if you're going to live the Christian life, if you're going to follow Jesus, you cannot run the race that's set before you looking back. But you know what? There's also something God has to say to us about the present. About the present. And if you notice there in the scripture, the Bible tells us that we have to press on in the present. We have to press on in the present. So I have to forget about the past and I have to press on in the present. Look at Philippians 3 again in verse 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Now, Paul's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about after salvation. Once you're already a follower of Jesus, he says this. He says, you got to press on. And he uses this word perfection here in the Bible. And it's actually a word that does not mean to be morally blameless. Perfection does not mean that one is without sin. What this word actually means is mature. To be perfected is to be matured, is what he's talking about. So if we see a little boy, we know that one day that little boy is going to grow up. His voice is going to get deeper. He's going to get taller. He's going to move into manhood. He's going to mature, right? And in the Christian life, as we're running the race for Jesus Christ, we are hopefully getting faster. We are maturing. We are advancing. We are becoming more Christ-like. This is what he's saying here. He's saying, I haven't reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And so when we look at our lives, we should always be a little bit dissatisfied with our own lives. We're satisfied with Jesus. We're dissatisfied with me. And we see the imperfections and we see how we need to grow and we see how we need to mature and I need to handle this differently and I need to think differently and, you know, I need to change some habits in my life. That's part of the maturing process. As we run the race, we get a little faster. We become a little bit more mature. We become a little bit more like Jesus is the goal. And that's what it means to be perfected. And we all have a long way to go. You know, we got room for improvement. Paul looked at his own life and said, I got a long way to go. I want you to reach over and touch a couple of people and say, I got a long way to go. I got a long way to go. Reach over. Yeah. I got a long way to go. They won't bite you. I got a long way to go right there. I got a long way to go. And he says, you got to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. That word press means to stretch. Just like I was trying to stretch across that finish line to beat my opponent, the Christian life is about stretching. We should be striving. We should be advancing. We should be maturing. We should be diligently focused on what it means to press on. Sometimes it's hard to press on. Sometimes it's hard to press on because you're discouraged. Some of us today are discouraged and you feel like walking on the track, you know? You just want to give up. I want to encourage you today, you got to press on. You got to press on. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep pressing. You can't give up. The race that is set before you is too awesome. Don't give up. Don't do it. You're dissatisfied. You're afraid. You're scared, you're angry, you're disappointed, you're tired, whatever it may be. Press on, stretch yourself, because in the present, God has called us to press on. We're running, we're not looking back, we're looking forward to the present. I think sometimes the present is the most challenging because the future feels too far ahead and we can't do anything about the past, but I want to tell you today, you can do something about the present. We got to make a decision today to run the race that's set before us with endurance, to press on regardless of how we feel. We need to keep pressing on today. We need to keep showing up. We need to keep turning up. We need to stay after the stuff. We need to keep doing it. And when we do that, you know what? We'll begin to anticipate the future. Anticipate the future. Yeah, notice this again in Philippians 3:14. I strain to reach the end of the race. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. You know what the future is? The future is life eternal. The future is heaven. The future is eternity with God. How amazing is that? If you're a follower of Jesus, you got something to look forward to, church. You got something to get excited about. Something to get pumped about, man. The end of this life is not the end. It's really just the beginning, Paul says. And the truth is, we don't all fit in here on this earth. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you know what? You're always a little different. Your values are different. Your ethics are different. Your priorities are different. You're a follower of Jesus. You never fit in with everybody else. People should look at your life and go, you know what? They're a little bit different. Their family is a little different. She's a little different. Because you're a follower of Jesus. You don't have the same ideas. You have different perspectives on things. I remember spending some time a few years ago in the former Soviet Union. I did some missionary work over there for a while. In the Ukraine, even in Siberia. Oh my goodness, I got some stories about that. In Moscow, some fascinating places. And the interesting thing about going to the former Soviet Union is it's just so different. You can go to other nations and it's a little different. I want to tell you, Russia and the former Soviet Union is like it might as well be a whole other planet. One of the craziest experiences that I ever had was getting my wallet stolen one day, wiped out. The hotel that we stayed in when I was in Siberia, they actually turned the hot water off all but 2 hours a day. And I want to tell you, it was cold in the dead of winter. In the middle of Siberia in January, you know what? It makes Colorado in the winter feel like the equator. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is some kind of cold. And to save money, they'll even turn the heat off. I'm like, it's 37 below, you know? I don't know what to do. Freezing to death. The food at the hotel, we would eat the same thing every night. It was like borscht and chai or chai and borscht, you know? And if you're really lucky, you got a piece of chicken in your borscht. You know, that was like a really good day. And every once in a while, you'd have some bread, you know, with your borscht. I'll never forget the restroom on the train, this 1960s train. It's like something out of a movie. We had to stay in a room. There was like four beds, and we were in there with two strangers, you know. And it was just crazy. Like, I was so nervous. I was like, where's my wallet? I want to put my hand over my wallet. And then when you go to the restroom, the restroom just flushes out on the track, you know. How's that for environmental sensitivity, okay? Yeah. And I kept thinking the entire time I was there, I just don't fit in here. This isn't my home. I mean, I can be here, but this is just a little uncomfortable. And I was so thankful to get back and sleep in my own bed and eat my own food like crazy. You know, in the Christian life, there's a part of us that is never to be totally settled into this world. We have a different perspective because we realize that what we're doing today affects our eternity. The choices that we make today have ramifications in the afterlife. That heaven is the great opportunity for every person that's called on the name of Jesus. And we look forward to that with great anticipation. We look forward to it. We anticipate it. We look forward to it. We can't wait to get there. Colossians 3:1 says it this way: since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Yeah. If you've been raised with Christ, set your realities on the things of God. You know what? A lot of times we think that heaven is something that you should think about if you're old or sick. You know? Like if you're about to die, you ought to think about heaven. I want to submit to you today, the Bible says we should be anticipating heaven all the time. You don't have to be old or sick. You can be young and healthy thinking about the things to come. We ought to be pumped about the future. We ought to be excited about the afterlife. Man, we ought to be anticipating it. Because the art of anticipation is to look forward to something. It's to expect something great. I'll tell you, I got so pumped when I heard that they were going to be opening an H&M over at the Southland Shopping Mall. That was a great day for me. I was like, no longer am I going to have to drive all the way to Cherry Creek Mall to shop at my favorite store. And so in anticipation, I was driving by. I was like the weirdo guy peeking in the windows, like trying to check out everything that's going on. I was calling my wife, giving her a weekly update. I was like, they combined three stores to make one big mega H&M. It's going to be great, you know. And the next week, you know, I was like, Gina, they painted the outside. It's all white. It looks different from all the other stores, you know. It's going to be awesome. The next week I drove by, they had put mannequins in the window, you know. And then I was counting down the days to the grand opening, and I was thinking about camping out. You know, I was like so excited about this. But I discovered when I looked at my calendar that I had to go to Coeur d'Alene, and so I was actually gone for the grand opening, which I was very depressed about for a couple of days. But I did send some of my friends on my behalf to shop for me and to kind of experience kind of the grand opening. They had special coupons, and it was awesome. And I was like, will you call me and tell me what's going on, like what's the stores like? And I was getting kind of an update, and it was really awesome. I was really excited. When I got back, I actually got to go shop, and it wasn't quite as cool, though, because it wasn't the grand opening. I missed that part, but I had great anticipation, looking forward to that. I want to challenge you today, man. Are you anticipating the things to come? Are you excited about what it means to experience the life hereafter? And if not, have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be your Savior, to be your Redeemer, to be the one that puts you on a right course? And you know, people this weekend have been committing their lives to Christ all weekend. Last night, I had a teenager come up after the service in the lobby, and he said, Pastor, I was listening to the message, and I really feel like I need to ask Christ into my life, and he's going to be baptized in just a few minutes. People have been calling on the name of Jesus all weekend at the early service, hands raised all over the place. People saying, I want to know for sure where I'm going to spend eternity. That's why the book of Revelation says it this way, he will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed. The old order of things has passed. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more pain. Heaven is a place without pain. It's a place of pleasure. It's a place of joy. It's a place of continual worship. It's a place where there's no more frustration. And too often we think about life here, but we do so at the expense of thinking about the things to come. Really, the beginning is the end for a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why at Edge Church, our goal is to share the good news of Jesus with as many people as possible, because we want to make it really hard to go to hell from our city right here. We want to constantly be telling people the life-changing message of Jesus, and we will go to great lengths to do that because we serve an amazing God, and heaven is going to be an amazing place. Now, I've got a little rope up here on the stage, and we're going to just play like that this rope is an unending rope. It really does end, but we're just going to play like it just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. And then we're also going to kind of pretend that this rope designates a timeline of our life. Okay, so this is like the beginning of life, and then, you know, it goes on and on and on and on and on. It's unending because we know that once we die, that we have a soul that lives forever. And I've actually colored the end of this rope red right here. You can just see it's a very small portion of the entire rope is colored red. And this red part designates the life that we have here on earth. How about that? You see, the red compared to the white is almost nothing, isn't it? And we worry and we stress and we get so upset about things that are going on in this world. But the truth is, when you look at the grand scheme of things, whatever's going on in your life today is something that's really, really, really small compared to all eternity. And as a follower of Jesus, we should be thinking about the majority of our life, not the minority. Let's bow together for a word of prayer.